T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now. We are the Q Morning Show. Morgan and Bill, good morning. I think we have an update this morning.
On the young love.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Days of our lives. The junior edition.
Let's hear it.
The middle school edition. And again, if my son Will knew that I was talking about this on the radio show, he would die.
Well, that's why you're doing it at 6:08.
He would kill me. He's not up yet. And I don't even think he listens to this show. So we should be fine. Here's what I found out yesterday, because Will and I spent some quality time yesterday. And we went to the batting cages and then we sat down to get something to eat. And as we're sitting across from each other eating, I asked him, hey, how's things going with Anna? Anna is the fake name that we gave to his girlfriend that he's had for about 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. Said, hey, how are things going with Anna? And he said, we broke up.
What? He admitted to you that they were...
Yes.
Oh?
So I said, oh, no, really? I said, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine.
I knew that was going to be the response.
He looked at me like I was weird for asking that question. Like, why are you asking me if I'm okay? I'm fine. And I'm like, okay. I said, so I kind of made the decision a while back. Is I'm not going to read his text as much because I really feel like I'm invading his privacy. Like,
okay.
We said that we'd read his text if we suspected something was going wrong. Now we're just reading his text because we want to find out what's going on between him
and
his girl.
Right. It's a rom-com.
So last night, my wife and I got his phone and we were reading through the text. So here's the way that the breakup happened. She didn't do it.
Well, I saw that coming.
She had one of her friends do it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought he would be the one to break up with her.
Well, here's how it happened from reading the text. And there were so many texts to read. And I wish that I could screenshot them and post them on our Instagram because they're great. There's so much drama. But what happened, this actually started this past weekend where he got a text from a girl that said, Anna wants to take a little break and she wants to concentrate on doing other things. I don't know. There was a whole bunch of reasons why. And all Will texted back was, okay, that's fine.
Like, okay, yeah.
He didn't seem broken up by it or anything. And then, I guess, 2 nights ago, again, this friend of Anna reaches out to Will and says, Anna has been really broken up about this separation. She's been crying. In fact, she was just crying on the phone with me 10 minutes ago.
What?
She wants to know, do you want to get back together or do you want to stay broken up? She just kind of wanted to see how you felt about the relationship. And Will texted back, I want to stay broken up.
Good for him, honestly. Stick to your guns, Will.
And I'm like, oh, my boy is cold.
No, he's a good man. He's not leading that woman on.
It's like, I am not about this drama.
I love it. Good for him.
So that is the latest.
How does that make you feel?
That he had his first young love.
Right.
And it ended, it looks like it ended badly.
It ended in heartbreak.
Well, he seems fine with it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine.
He seems fine. I'm more invested in this relationship than he is.
Right.
That's what it that's what it's turned out to be. If there's any more updates, I'll give them to you. But again, I'm playing with fire here.
I'm sad that it might come to an end. I love this.
Well, hopefully they stay friends. Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now. You've got the Q Morning Show this morning, Morgan and Bill. This is not a good morning for young love. You have my 12-year-old son breaking up with his girlfriend, and now we have a breakup out of the celebrity world. Although I cannot say that I didn't see this coming.
I was going to say, I'm going to put this out there, and I don't think anybody is going to be surprised.
Do you want to go ahead and say it? Because now, how did she confirm it, by the way?
Okay, well, it's hard to say because she was just very cryptic, but I think you can definitely read between the lines. We haven't seen Megan Fox and MGK together in a very, very long time. So Megan Fox was on Alex Cooper's podcast this week, Call Her Daddy. And do you have her audio ready?
I do. Play it now?
Yeah.
I don't have a comment on, like, the status of the relationship per se. What I can say is that is what I refer to as being my twin soul. And there will always be a tether to him no matter what. I can't say for sure what the capacity will be, but I will always be connected to him somehow. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I'm not willing to explain.
Okay. I don't have a comment on our relationship, but here is a comment on our relationship.
They're done. They are so done. I mean, think about it. If someone asks you, how are you and Paula?
I don't have a comment on that. Morgan, I'm not commenting. But I will say that we're still happily married.
Right? There will always be a tether, no matter what capacity. It's like, no, if you're together, you say, we're together. End of story. Like, you don't even have to explain further than that. But this, they're definitely done.
I think they're definitely done. We haven't heard from them in a very, very long time. I'm surprised that she's surprised by that question on a podcast, that she would get that question and not... I mean, it sounds like she was ready for it, but at the same time, it's like, I don't have a comment on it.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like you definitely have to anticipate that that comment is coming or that question is coming. And I feel like it would not be like the host would not be doing her job if she didn't ask that question. But she did seem kind of annoyed by it. She was like, our relationship isn't for public consumption.
It's not for public consumption, but it was when they were together. They did a lot of things publicly.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, now I do understand because they've been a little bit more private, but like when they were walking red carpets, licking each other's tongues, like people obviously are going to ask questions.
Aren't those the two, Megan Fox and MGK, aren't those the two that did something like some sort of a gothic ceremony?
Oh, yeah.
Of what was it? Like...
I can't remember, but it did have something to do with, like, blood. It was weird.
Exchanging blood.
Yeah, it was weird. Right.
Which is why I think these things are so silly. It's like you're going to do this grand gesture, this grand public declaration of your love, and then we're supposed to buy into that, and then months
down the road... And it's not for public consumption!
Right. Now we're done.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. What about the blood transfusion that you guys did together? Or whatever you did.
Right?
Was it donating blood to the Red Cross? What did they do? But now it means nothing. So I can't get excited about these grand gestures when I know that they don't mean anything
in
real
life.
Did you
get excited about that grand gesture? Because I got weirded out.
Yeah, I got weirded out. And it's like, this is just silly.
Yeah.
And here we are months later, and it didn't mean anything.
The end of an era.
There is another story that is in the news this morning. It is a statistic, I guess you could say, survey results that when I saw it, I was like...
What?
I was shocked. Yeah. I was shocked when I read it.
Right.
And I know that Morgan saw it too, because we're going to talk about it next. And we can all be shocked together. That's next on the Q Morning Show.
It's real life, real Cleveland. This is the Q Morning Show on Q104.
Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now, Morgan and Bill, the Q Morning Show. So Morgan and I found this survey that has to do with oral hygiene.
Yeah.
And you might be thinking, are you guys really going to talk about oral hygiene right now? That sounds kind of boring. But no, listen to this. Listen to this of what we found.
We found
it's shocking.
A new survey finds that Americans admit to forgetting to brush their teeth 5 times a week on average.
Forgetting to brush your teeth.
There's only 7 days in the week, and you're forgetting 5 times?
At that point, you're not forgetting. You're just not doing it.
You're just choosing not to brush your teeth. What's wrong with us?
Forgetting is once a month or twice a month, not 5 times a week.
How did we get here?
That's not forgetting.
How did we get here?
I feel like, because this is a thing with my kids, and I still have the same conversation with my youngest son, Drew, who's 9 years old, who will ask me, do I have to brush my teeth tonight?
Right.
And I give him the same speech every single time. I'm like, yes, yes, you have to brush your teeth tonight. Why do you ask me about doing things that you have to do every day in your life? You wake up, you brush your teeth. You go to bed and you brush your teeth.
Right.
Why you're asking me if you can skip something that nobody else can skip in their life, I don't know why you're asking me right now.
I feel like it's normal for kids, though, because I remember not wanting to brush my teeth as a kid.
Well, they're not forgetting. They're clearly remembering. They're just asking if they could skip it.
Yeah.
And you can't skip it.
No.
Why? What are the reasons why you could skip it? Maybe because I would skip in college, maybe after a late night at the bar.
No, I feel like there's no reason for you to skip brushing your teeth. I mean, even if it's just like not the full 2 minutes that you're supposed to, you know, sing the alphabet twice, even like a little rinse, there's no excuse. There's no excuse.
Okay, it's 2 a.m. and you're getting back from the bar and you just want to go to bed.
I can't.
You will brush your teeth.
I cannot. I go to bed and I feel stuff in there, I can't fall asleep unless I do it.
And you take your makeup off
oh,
as well?
Oh, yeah. All the time. That's like my first line of business, no matter what.
Sometimes on Saturday or Sunday mornings, if I have to run to the kids up to the gym or whatever, and then I come home, sometimes I will leave the house without brushing my teeth, but I'm not encountering anybody. I'm just dropping them off. And then I'll come back. I'll eventually brush my teeth.
Yeah. See, I feel like that's fine.
But it's always 2 times a day, sometimes 3 times a day,
right?
Depending on what I'm doing in the afternoon. Like if I get a nap and I need another teeth brushing in there, and then always flossing at night. Always.
Oh, yeah. I feel like flossing, a lot of people don't do.
Now, I'm not bragging about that because I only started doing that regularly within the past few years. Like that, I was always a bad flosser and my dentist would let me know about it. And I would feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
But I just made it a habit. And now I'm a every night flosser.
Well, that's good.
But also, I'm trying to set a good example for my children.
Right.
Who they brush their teeth. My kids have to physically brush their teeth and floss in our bathroom because we want to witness them doing it. Because if we leave them to their own devices up in their bathroom, it would never get done. I mean, we go up there and we'll feel their toothbrush and it's bone dry.
Right.
And it's with everything right now, but specifically with brushing your teeth 5 times a week.
Listen, we're not forgetting to brush our teeth anymore, people. Okay. It is a top priority, not just your oral hygiene, your overall hygiene. You don't want to be the person in the office that forgot to brush their teeth.
Oh, yeah. I'm having the same conversation right now with Will and wearing deodorant.
Oh, God.
And I mean, it's everything.
Growing boys, they're fun, aren't they?
So maybe it's if you have kids, this is not a big problem. Maybe, I don't know, if you're single or...
I have no... There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Brush your teeth. Brush your teeth.
If anyone wants to admit to forgetting to brush your teeth 5 times a week, please do so. It's Q104. Teddy Swims, it's Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now. That would be a tough karaoke song to sing.
Yeah, I don't think I would pick that one.
But I would like to hear Kelly Clarkson try to sing it. It's, what is it? Lose Control. And we are the Q Morning Show, Morgan and Bill. Did you see where Travis Kelce and his brother Jason were they bashing Love is Blind? Or they were talking about Love is Blind on their podcast.
No, I did not see this.
Okay. So it says here that Travis is a fan of Love is Blind, and he was talking to Jason, and he was trying to convince Jason why he should watch the show. So So here's a little bit of that.
Jason, you got to watch Love is Blind, man. It is the worst trash ever. It's worse than Catching Kelsey, but it is so good. Honestly, I just want you to watch the one girl and to just hear her.
Not watching.
Oh, my God, Jason, please.
No, I'm not watching that trash.
So he's,
they're not wrong.
Does he like it or does he not like
it?
I can't tell.
It's one of those things that you love to hate.
He says it's worse than his own reality show.
Right.
But he's trying to get his brother to watch it. So who is this contestant that he was imitating? Her name is Chelsea Blackwell.
Oh, yeah.
What's her story?
Oh, stop. I'm so tired of Chelsea getting bullied. Okay, in the pod, she said, you know, the premise of the show is that you can't see each other. Mm-hmm. And you, like, fall in love just by talking. And you're not supposed to talk about your looks at all, but she got absolutely just ripped to shreds for saying that she looked like Megan Fox to her guy that she was trying to pursue.
Yeah, you have to let other people say that you look like somebody. You can't come out and say, I look like somebody.
So it just did not go over well for her. And at first it's like, okay, yeah, I do get it. But, you know, the internet hate is just too much. I will say that following the whole entire show, she has been a champ at handling it. She's like got this self-deprecating humor. She's laughing at herself. She's like trolling herself with all the internet trolls. But gosh, I feel bad for Chelsea.
Well, it's funny that you say that because Travis did an imitation of Chelsea on the podcast. Here it is.
I'm coming to Philly. We're going to watch together. I'm coming.
You're going to go clingy. I'm clingy. Really?
That's her.
Quit talking about her, Travis, you big meanie pants. Well, then, yeah, she did say that.
And then what Chelsea did was she, you know, she embraced it. She posted a TikTok and asked Taylor Swift not to watch Love is Blind as a result of Travis's imitation.
See, that's what I mean. She just has taken it all in stride. And imagine if Travis Kelce was mocking you on his podcast. How would you feel? I feel like I would want to crawl into a hole.
Speaking of internet hate, this just popped into my head because I just saw this morning. I was on our Facebook page, the Q104 Facebook page, and I'm trying to spend more time on there because if our listeners are on there, I want to be on there and interact with them if possible. But there was a story that Q104 Cleveland posted yesterday. It was about Beyonce, and it says she's sharing more details surrounding Cowboy Carter. Is that the name of the album?
Yes.
Okay. In the article, she reveals that the album came from a time when Beyonce said that she felt alone and not accepted.
Okay.
And then I'm reading the comments underneath it, and it says somebody posted the emoji of tears coming down your face, the crying emoji.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nobody's paying attention to me. And then somebody posted, I could care less. I don't like her or her stinking music.
Okay. So I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Speaking of internet hate, I mean, it's right there on the Q104 page.
Oh, it's everywhere.
It's like a sea of negativity.
Yeah. I mean, that's just some people's default. Be negative about everything.
I don't like that. I don't want to spend time on our Facebook page if that's if that's what's going to be there.
And, you know,
I mean, here's Beyonce saying, here's a time in my life I felt alone, and the reaction is, ooh, right. Poor Beyonce.
And it's like, even if you think that, you know, you don't always have to comment it. Yeah. You know, like, think the thought in your head and move on with your life. You don't always have to be an internet troll.
Yeah, don't be like that. I don't want to see that negativity.
So our PSAs for the day are to please brush your teeth and to not be an internet troll.
You know where I don't see negativity? And that's on the Q Morning Show Instagram page. I don't see it there. All I see is positivity and nice messages.
We're nice on Instagram.
At the Q Morning Show on IG. And we're going to get to group therapy this morning because Riley reached out to us on Instagram, DM'd us and said, hey, this is going on in my relationship. I think things are getting pretty serious with this girl, and all of a sudden, she turns around and does something that has him completely confused and wrecked.
Right.
We will talk about it next in group therapy. It's the Q Morning Show. Q104. Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now with the Q Morning Show. It's Morgan and Bill. Let's get to Group Therapy Thursday. Just to let you behind the curtain for a second, Morgan, I still am a little amazed that people do come to us for advice.
Why?
I don't
know. That's what we
do. It makes me feel humbled. I'm certainly not qualified to give people advice.
Well, it's group therapy for a reason, right?
That's true, because if you ever hear myself or Morgan give advice that you don't agree with, you should absolutely call up.
And they do.
216-474-0104. So let's see what's going on with Riley today. Riley, good morning to you.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on the show. Tell us what's happening. What can we help with?
So I've been seeing someone for about a year. And we kind of been taking it slow. And I've been really cool with that. And I've been having a really good time seeing her. And I think it started to get serious. And I think the last few weeks have been, you know, ramping things up. So my girlfriend, the thing about her is she's a teacher.
Okay.
You know, spring break is coming up. And I apparently found out the other night, apparently she had booked a vacation for herself. Like, she's booked herself a solo vacation. And this was news to me when I found this out. So I was a little taken aback by that.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's weird, because something that bothers me is that we've talked about me taking vacation that week, and we could take it, you know, together. We could both be on a spring break, for lack of a better word, and we never made final plans, but she did know that I wanted to go somewhere with her.
Okay. Now I see the issue.
Yeah. So when she tells me, I'm like, okay, I'm not going with you. And the whole thing is booked all of a sudden, I guess. And she's like, no, I need to relax a few days with myself. And also, she's going to New Orleans. Like, she's not going to go, like, sit on a beach or something.
Right. Like, not the most relaxing place in the world, I'd say.
So, oh, no.
I'm really bothered by this. And I've been thinking a lot about our relationship the past few days. And I really, really like this girl. I really do. And so I just feel a little uncertain now about, like, what the deal is, because I don't know. Do you think it's, like, a bad sign that she booked this thing without me? I get that she's a teacher and she works a lot of hours. And, you know, she does sometimes, like, even when we're together, she'll be like, can I just take an hour just to, like, be by myself? And I understand that, I guess, in the short term. But I guess a vacation feels a little bit more extreme.
Okay. See, Morgan, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Now I feel self-conscious about giving Riley advice.
Right. Well, what's your gut say? Is it a bad sign that
yes.
she booked the vacation? Yeah, I agree. It's a bad sign.
It's a bad sign. We both agree it's a bad
it's
sign?
It's a bad sign.
Okay, let's open this up right now. 216-474-0104. Riley has been with his girlfriend for almost a year. They're kind of taking it slow, but things are getting kind of serious, in Riley's words. And now she has booked herself a solo vacation during spring break. He wanted to go. He's not going. Is this a bad sign for their relationship? 216-474-0104. The Q Morning Show. It's Q104. Q104, the Q Morning Show. Morgan and Bill, it's group therapy for Riley, who has been dating a girl for almost a year. She's a teacher, and she has spring break coming up in a few weeks. She has booked herself a spring break trip.
But
to New Orleans.
They discussed going on a trip together. And she was like, nah, I'm just going to go by myself.
She completely overlooked that. Book the trip to New Orleans, the relaxation capital of the U.S. And is going without him. And now Riley's like, well, what does this mean? What does this mean for the relationship?
Yeah, it's kind of a red flag in my opinion.
But can anything be done? Can this still be saved? Let's go to Shelley in Akron. Shelley, what are your thoughts on group therapy?
I feel bad for Riley, only because I don't think she's into him as much as he's into her. Because after a year of dating, they should be planning a vacation together to spend time alone together.
Yeah, and we
That's
think...
That's my feeling.
We think so, too. But can anything be done about it? Shad is in Hinckley. Shad, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know, I don't think it's more about right or wrong. I think it's about setting some boundaries this early in a relationship. After a year, you need to communicate enough with your person and let them know if this is upsetting you. And if it still upsets him and he tells her about it and she decides to still go, I think it's time to reevaluate that relationship. And if she decides to take him, well, then he wins for, you know, being that open in this communication. But right now, you know, it's all about setting boundaries of what you're willing to accept in a relationship. And if someone isn't willing to mend with you, then it might be time to move on.
Thank you, Shad.
Yeah, that was great advice.
When would you have that conversation, Morgan? Would you have it before she goes on the trip or would you have it when she comes back?
Before, for sure.
Okay. Megan's in Cleveland. Megan, good morning.
Morning.
What are your thoughts on group therapy?
Okay, so I am a teacher, and I disagree with all of you. I think he's thinking about this entirely too much. Teachers are stressed to the max. They are overworked. We are freaking tired. And she may honestly just need a minute to reset and recharge herself. And whether that's in New Orleans or Florida, or in her bedroom for a week, she probably genuinely just needs the time. And like he said, she's been trying to take the time like throughout the relationship. Being a teacher right now is impossible. And she legitimately just might need a minute.
Okay, Riley. So what advice, Megan, what advice would you have then for Riley? Let's say that you're dating Riley and he anticipated going on this spring break trip with you. And now he's dejected because you're going on this trip without him. What would you say to him, or what would you want him to say to you, or how would you want him to react in this moment?
Yeah, like I would totally, if I was dating Riley, I would want Riley to acknowledge the fact that, like, I know this year has been really hard, and I know that you need some time to reset and recharge. I just want to let you know that if you want me to come with you, that I'm available, but if you just need the time alone, I totally understand and support you with that as well. And, you know, just acknowledge her feelings of being overwhelmed, but make himself available, and then that will open up the dialogue to have the conversation like, no, babe, I just need to be by myself for a minute, or you know what, let me go down a couple days, maybe you can meet me on Wednesday or Thursday, we can spend the weekend together, you know, and they can decide what they're going to do from there on out.
Thank you, Megan. That's some great advice for Megan. And I.
Yeah, communication is important. We learned that lesson a lot.
If you don't want to end game this relationship, try what Megan suggested. Have that conversation before she leaves.
End game. That means that's a good thing. That do you mean you don't want.
Break up.
No.
End game means break up.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No,
end game.
No. If you're saying this relationship is end game, that means that you're going to get married.
No, endgame to me would mean something negative. It would mean the worst possible scenario. You would break up.
So when you hear someone say Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are endgame, you think that means they're going to break up?
Yeah, I think ending the relationship.
No, endgame means you're going to get married.
No, I don't.
I want to be your endgame.
That's not how I would use endgame.
I want to be your first string. It's a good thing. It doesn't matter.
It's a whole completely different conversation now.
But it mattered because it changed the context of what you were saying.
One that I do want to settle, though, however, is endgame a good thing or a bad thing? I think endgame, like Avengers Endgame, the movie.
No. When you're talking about relationships, it's a good thing.
216-474-0104.
Wow, that turned into a whole other thing. But you were saying, like, if he doesn't want to end the relationship, what should he do? Talk to her about it.
Talk to her and see what her response is to being supportive of her taking this solo vacation. And if he likes her response, then wait for her to come back. Here's what I would do. Okay, you're going to New Orleans. I'm going to book myself a trip to Baton Rouge.
Okay, yeah.
So I will be about 60 minutes away from you. If you want to hang out in Louisiana that week, great. Give me a call. If not, I'm going to be having my own fun.
Sure.
216-474-0104. That is our number. It's group therapy on the Q Morning Show, Q104.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now Morgan and Bill, the Q Morning Show. Good to have you here. So I've always used the term endgame in a negative sense, a negative connotation when I would say endgame. For instance, if somebody was on the show and it was group therapy or it was hash it out and they were fighting about something and then somebody said, well, we're just going to break up. And I would say, whoa, why are you trying to endgame this? I always thought that like breaking up would be like an end game, like a negative thing.
No, not when it comes to relationships.
The texts are not supporting me here either. Let's see. End game is the final stage of a game or war or trial. The last stages before it is over. End game means engagement and marriage for sure. It means your dating life is ending. The relationship to stop all other relationships. Okay. So not really negative. Endgame is good in relationships.
Right.
Morgan just proved it with the song. There's a Taylor Swift song?
Yeah.
Endgame?
I want to be your endgame. Yeah. I want to be your first string. Basically, it just means, like, if you say a person is endgame, it means, like, that's your goal. Like, you want to end up with them. It's endgame because they're the person that you want to be with forever.
Hmm.
Yeah, very different meanings there.
And then someone texted it, Avengers Endgame ended up with everyone coming back. How is that a bad thing?
Hey, spoiler alert. I haven't seen it.
You're never going to see it.
I know, I'm never going to see it. So.
I mean, who are you kidding right now?
Like, nobody.
You're going to watch all the Marvel movies?
No.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it.
Never.
Although you are going to have a lot of time on your
hands. You keep saying that. I'm not. I am still going to be working, you know. I'm not just going to sit on the couch all day. Thank you very much. It's a second time that you've said that. So cool it. Cool it.
You've got plenty of time if you want to watch all the Marvel movies in order. You would start with Captain America, the First Avenger. Start with that.
Okay.
And then I'll give you the order. It's going to be fine. Let's see. What do we have? Battle of the Burbs coming up. It's brought to you by Self.Inc. So tomorrow, if you wouldn't mind jumping in the car and driving to Columbus, Olivia Rodrigo is playing tomorrow night at Nationwide Arena. We have tickets for you during Battle of the Burbs. That's on the way next.
Cleveland is waking up with the Q Morning Show on Q104. In Northeast Ohio, we proudly rep our suburbs. But there can be only one winner in the land. Battle of the Burbs on the Q Morning Show.
Battle of the Burbs brought to you by Self.Inc. Trying to win Olivia Rodrigo tickets for tomorrow night in Columbus. Sammy in North Royalton, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Sammy, you're going to be taking on Paul in Elyria. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Good luck, contestants.
Your name is your buzzer, so if you think you know the answer, say your name, and then we'll give you the cue to answer. It's a best of five question trivia challenge. Here we go with question number one. Machine Gun Kelly was engaged to what Transformers actress?
Paul.
Sammy?
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox is correct. Question number two. Former boy bander Nick Lachey hosts a popular Netflix show, Love is Blind.
Sammy? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we didn't finish the question. I'll finish the question. What boy band was he once in?
Paul.
Paul?
98 Degrees.
98 Degrees is correct. We're tied 1-1. Question number three. Name one movie that Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore are in together.
Paul?
Sammy?
50 First Dates.
50 First Dates is correct. Paul leads 2-1. Question number four. What's the smallest state in the U.S.?
Paul.
Sammy.
Paul for the win?
Rhode Island.
Wow, Rhode Island is right. You did it, Paul.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, you've got a road trip for tomorrow. You're going to Columbus to see Olivia Rodrigo.
I filled up my gas tank yesterday, so I'm ready to go.
Perfect.
Love it.
The Q Morning Show, Q104. We will have tickets tomorrow during Battle of the Burbs. Q104. Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now. The Q Morning Show. Morgan and Bill, thank you for listening to us. What survey did you find, or what did you find out about millennials and marriage?
They've made marriage better.
Oh, yay, millennials.
Congratulations to us for making marriage better in three different ways.
Finally, someone made marriage better.
Now, when I read these three different ways, to me, it sounds like three different ways to say the same exact thing. So okay. It might just actually be one way. But according to this, it says, three ways in which millennials have made marriage better. Number one, they no longer marry because society says so.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, previously, if you felt like, you know, if you're 25 years old and you weren't married, a lot of people would feel like, you know, the societal pressure of that, you know, maybe that they felt like a failure because they weren't married. But nowadays, people are getting married in their late 20s, their 30s, their 40s, without that societal judgment.
And millennials are taking credit for that?
Yeah, they are. Okay. Number two.
Because I got married when I was, how old was I? 34. I waited. Wow. I waited as long as I could.
There you go. Number two. I said, there you go, but we're just going to pretend like I didn't. They take time to discover themselves. It says marrying later in life lets the younger gens have more time to discover themselves and have more life experiences. When they are getting married, they're more mature, they're more self-aware, which better equips them for a long-lasting love.
All right.
Like, that's the same way to say number one, right? They no longer marry because society says so. They take time to discover themselves. And then number three, they know older is often better. Wine gets better as it ages over time, and so do we. We become more self-aware, more secure, and better lovers, too. Did we not just say that two times?
What gets better with age? Wine? Cheese?
Yeah.
What else?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti? No, I don't think
leftovers.
Day-old
sure.
Spaghetti? I don't know. We had some sort of a pasta dish the other night, and I ate it for leftovers
the next
day.
We can't go down that wormhole.
Terrible.
We can't go down that wormhole.
Paula never eats leftovers in the house. It's always me.
We're not talking about leftovers. We're talking about marriage. Well, I guess that technically is talking about marriage if you don't eat the leftovers, but Paula does.
This is what marriage is about. You argue about dinner every single night.
Yeah.
Every single night, you ask your, what are your thoughts on dinner? That is what marriage is about. It's the two of you asking each other every single night, thoughts on dinner.
I do think, though, that as millennials, we are the generation that is getting married older. Now, I know you said that you got married when you were 34.
Yes.
I think you're a bit of an outlier. My parents got married when they were 18 years old. 18 and 19.
Yeah, way too young.
Yeah, I know that there are, I mean, obviously you can't make these blanket statements on everybody gets married young or everybody gets married when they're older. But I feel like all of my friends got married either at, it was like 29 to 33. The age to have kids is moving. You know, it used to be, I feel that pressure right now because I'm the only friend in my friend group that doesn't have kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm 31. But I still remind myself that women in today's day and age are having kids when they're like 35, 36, even 40.
I've always felt that geography plays a huge role in what society is saying and what the pressures that you're feeling about getting married or not. Because I grew up in a very small town, which was Dover, Ohio. That's where, I mean, I'm from Canton, but I grew up in Dover for most of my formative years. And it felt like the small town attitude of there's pressure to get married and to stay in the small town. But then when I moved to a larger city and I felt that there was more people that thought the same way that I did.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to New York City, there's people running around all over the place in their 40s and 50s that aren't married yet.
Yeah. You find people and then you're that think the same way that you do. They're like, hey, what's the rush? Why are we rushing to get married?
So we don't want to give millennials the credit for this one. Is that what you're saying?
I'm giving you all the credit because you got married last year.
31.
You are a millennial. Yeah. And already I feel that marriage is so much better.
Yeah.
It's all because of you.
You're welcome.
You got married and you moved into a house.
Yeah, I was going to say, what we're going to talk about next, I don't know if I should be married at this point.
What would you call this? A mistake? A mishap? What would you call this?
I feel like it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, because you almost lost the house.
It's not funny.
That's next on the Q Morning Show.
We'll be back faster than the cars drive on 77. Q104.
Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now. Morgan and Bill, the Q Morning Show. So perhaps Morgan is getting used to the nuances of living in a house versus an apartment. I'm not sure. But what happened? What mishap did you almost have?
2 days in a row, I've caught something on fire.
Well, I suppose you could do that in an apartment as well.
But I never did in my apartment. And I first did it 2 days ago, and I was like, oh, I got to talk about this on the morning show. And then I did it again yesterday.
What is catching on fire?
Okay, the first time that I caught something on fire was in the oven. So I was using the broiler on some buns. And I did not realize that the tray was super close to the actual broiler. So it caught on fire. The buns caught on fire. Like
the buns?
Flames. Yeah, up in flames. So, I mean, it was the whole nine. We had to open every window. We had to turn the fan on. David was like sprinting outside to dump the buns outside in the grass and pour water on it. It was a big deal.
Okay, so the first time, did you realize your mistake and did you figure out like, okay, I can't do this again next time?
Yes.
Okay.
So yesterday I was also cooking, but caught something on fire in a different way. So now I have, the stove top that has the fire underneath it. I used to have the electric. So I was making, some steaks in the frying pan and I put the tongs down on the side of the pan. Right. And I like walked around the corner for something. The tongs just fell off a little bit, but they fell off into the fire. So day one, I caught the buns on fire. Day two, I catch the tongs on fire. And I'm like, I'm done cooking. I'm really trying to cook better meals for us, to be a good wife. I know that that is not the only thing that entails to be a good wife, but like, I want to have a nice dinner for me and my husband. And I can't because I catch everything on fire.
This sounds like a very flammable oven.
I was like, what the heck is going on?
I can honestly tell you that in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever caught anything on fire.
Really?
I don't think so.
Why does that surprise me so much?
But already you've done more cooking than I have in the past 2 years. My idea of fixing dinner for the kids is just throwing something in the microwave.
And I was hoping, like, when this happened to me, I was like, I'm going to talk about this on the show. And I hope to God that somebody out there can make me feel better about catching things on fire. Because if it's not as common as I think it is, that means that I really am the problem.
216-474-0104. My dad he was a bargain hunter.
Uh-huh.
So he would go to like garage sales on Saturday mornings. And one time he's like, hey, look, I found this deep fryer.
Uh-huh.
And it cost him like $2.50.
Oh,
and
that's it?
It looked like beaten up and it was like charcoaled. It was like all just black. And I think one night he was making some fries in there. And we're sitting in the dining room, the deep fryer's in the kitchen, and then you just see flames.
It's terrifying.
Coming out of the deep fryer.
It's terrifying.
Like, that is the last time that we ever used that deep fryer. It was a bargain, though. $2.50 at a garage sale.
It might have burned your house down, but $2.50 was worth it.
What did you catch on fire? It doesn't have to have been in the kitchen. 216-474-0104. Doja Cat. Yeah. It's Q104. Oh, man, I ran out of time. I wanted to get a fire song.
Shawty fire burning on the dance floor.
That's a good one. That would've... That would have been a good one. This girl is on fire.
Yeah. Not literally, but I have caught two things on fire in 2 days in my new house. And I think it's a rite of passage.
And
I do.
I'm not so sure. Because I've never done it. I'm not sure how many people have done it, but we're about to find out. First, though, I think we have a helpful tip from Kat in Fairview Park. Kat, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Morgan, I was just going to tell you that you should check out an induction stove because it's a lot more efficient than gas, and then you don't ever burn anything. Like, it doesn't even matter if you put it directly on. If it's not the right kind of pan, it won't turn on for you, so it's a lot safer. And I don't think you're the only one that's ever done that. I think a lot of us have done that had gas or have gas.
Yeah.
So
this induction stove, is this like a full-size stove that you would
pricey,
buy like at
yeah.
Home Depot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They are, but a lot safer, they say. So.
Well, you are renting the house, though, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if your landlord would want you to replace the stove. I think your best bet would be air fryer.
True.
At least in the short term, anyway. Let's go to Joseph, who is listening. Where are you, Joseph? I don't know where you are.
I'm in Cleveland, Ohio.
Thank you, Joseph. Cleveland, Ohio. I've heard of it. Joseph, what did you almost burn down?
Okay, so I had an ex. She asked me what I wanted for dinner. So she actually decided to make ramen and noodles in a cup.
Ramen noodles.
So she goes to put it in the microwave, completely forgets the water, and has it in there for about 3 minutes and almost blew up the whole house.
Really?
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be able to put the ramen cup in the microwave?
With water.
Okay. That's so...
You need to add the water.
If you don't add water, you're going to make your microwave
explode? It's flammable?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a lesson learned that I didn't know.
I kind of want to test that out.
Well...
I mean, we do have the microwave down the hall in the break room.
Right.
Just put a cup of ramen in there with no water.
Maybe on my last day, so I wouldn't have to face the consequences.
There you go. Just run out the door. Let's see. Mike is listening. Mike is in Lakewood. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So I have a typical story. I think it's probably more typical than, it's stereotypical. So I was cooking breakfast for my partner one morning and, you know, eggs, bacon. Who doesn't love bacon in bed, you know?
Right.
And so... So I was using an iron skillet, which I love an iron skillet on a stove to making breakfast. Uh-huh. And so I finished up the bacon at last, and you know, it was pretty greasy. You know, there's a lot of grease in the iron skillet. But I turned everything off and walked away and went back to the bedroom to deliver the breakfast. Well, all of a sudden the fire alarm's going off in the house, and I'm on the other side of the house. I'm like, what's going on? And I see just all this gray, dark smoke coming out of the kitchen area. I'm like, oh no! So big flames are shooting up to the microwave. Because, you know, some places, you know, kitchens have the microwave above the stove.
Right.
You know. Yeah. And so I knew it was a grease fire. I was like, oh, my gosh. And so don't throw water on it. I was like, I can't throw water on it. How am I going to put this out? And so I found a big old bag of flour, and I just poured flour all over it and tried to cover it with pots and pans. And by the time everything was done, my house was all smoky, smoke coming out of the house, and I was covered in white flour, and I just started crying.
Oh, Mike, wow, what a visual ride you just took us on.
That was some quick thinking there with the flour.
Yeah, how did you know to put flour on it?
I'm a scientist, so I just knew flour is probably better than anything else, you know, in the kitchen that's quick, you know. So you don't want to douse anything with a, you know, force or anything like water or even, a fire container can actually spread the grease onto other things. So I just threw a big old bag of flour on it, but of course I had some on me, so I looked like a Casper white ghost. And...
So how did the grease fire start? What ignited the grease fire if you turned everything off?
I don't know. It was a very greasy bacon, and I remember turning off the stove, but I guess it was hot enough. It was still hot grease, and iron skillets don't cool down that quick, so it just somehow ignited when I walked away.
How come you can't explain it, Mr. Science? I would yell that at Mike all the time because I know he's a scientist. How come you can't explain it, Mr. Science?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well,
oh man, I'm learning that I'm very unprepared for anything that happens because I wouldn't have a clue.
Oh yeah, get a little fire extinguisher underneath the.
Well, according to Mike, I shouldn't spray it.
Or just get some flour.
Yeah, I'll get the flour on deck.
Thank you, Mike. The Q Morning Show. Q104. Good morning. Q104, 90s, 2000s, and now the Q Morning Show. It's Morgan and Bill. How long have you been on Facebook, Morgan, since it first came out, 2008, 2009?
Long time. Definitely since I was a freshman in college, which was 2011.
Okay. I've been on since 2009. And do you remember poking? Facebook
yes.
Poking?
I do.
All right. I guess that was something that came out when Facebook first came out. And it was fun, it was exciting, it was flirty, but then the poking died down eventually.
Thankfully.
However, earlier this year, and I did not know this, but Meta made a design tweak that made the poke button more visible. And if I am to believe this article, which I'm not sure if I do, by the way, it says that Gen Z has noticed this, that the poke button is more visible. And since the change on the Facebook interface, Facebook pokes have gone up a whopping 13 times.
I'm looking for the poke button right now.
So between the ages of 18 and 29, the poke buttons are being used by users on Facebook between 18 and 29. What is super surprising to me is that there are users of Facebook between the ages
of
18 and 29.
I was thinking, yeah, it's up 13% because there's five of them on there, and all five of them decided to start poking people.
Right.
I don't know one 18-year-old to what was the age?
18 to 29.
That has a Facebook. Genuinely.
I don't either. I mean, I don't know that many Gen Z. I mean, I don't have that many in my life that I interact with, but I am certainly not Facebook friends with them.
But honestly, let them go through the process because they'll be the same as us. They'll start poking people in 3 months, realize that it's kind of weird and really annoying, and then they'll fall off the wagon.
I've never been poked on Facebook, ever in my life.
Oh, I used to get poked.
Now, what would be the purpose of a poke?
Typically, it was kids trying to get my attention, dudes trying to get my attention. And I'm like, no, it's not working.
Did they get your attention?
No, absolutely not. If anything, if a guy tried to poke me on Facebook, it would ensure that I would never go out on a date with that man.
There you go. Don't bring back the poke.
Yeah.
You know what? What I enjoy when I do go on Facebook is when they show me the memories.
And yeah, that's good.
And then it shows me my status updates from 2009.
Oh, so embarrassing, though.
Oh, it is so cringe. I think we should do an entire segment of that. Of
just reading your old Facebook statuses?
Yes. Like, for instance, from 2009, at some point, I thought it would have been funny to post, Bill Ryan is too hot to handle, too cold to hold.
Yeah. If I look back at my Facebook, I don't know that person. That person is not me. That person has since gone into the witness protection program because that's not me. Sorry. Don't know her. Never met her.
I want to go back in time and talk to that person.
Never met her. Honestly, we would not be friends.
I want to shake that person. I want to shake myself from 2009. Don't post Ghostbusters lyrics.
Exactly.
All right. The Q Morning Show. We have a chance to win Meghan Trainor tickets. That's coming up after 9 this morning.
Real life, real Cleveland. It's the Q Morning Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.